1 John chapter 5 tonight. We'll look at the first five verses of this chapter as we have concluded the third and fourth chapters of the book of John, or 1 John, are all about that love, and we've talked extensively about that love. We sort of stopped about verse 12 or verse 13, but the latter part of 1 John 4 continues on in that love, so go back and make sure you read that end of that chapter, and we're going to move on to chapter 5 tonight. But my, how God is moving and helping us in this passage of Scriptures that we've been looking at, walking in the light and the love of Christ. And so tonight we're in 1 John 5, notice verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Going back into our series, looking at walking in the light, and John here is going to the believers in Christ, the followers of Christ, about 60 years after Jesus is resurrected from the grave, and there's some discord in the church, there's some problems in the church, and John is trying to help them to understand and answer their questions, and the main question was, did Jesus really come? And if He did come, was He really God? And so he answers those questions, and we've looked extensively at John's answers and the Holy Spirit's answers to those. So tonight we come to 1 John chapter 5, and I can remember growing up and watching, I can't remember what day it was, it seems like it was a Saturday, but I don't remember for sure, but ABC had a program on. We didn't watch a lot of television, but we did watch some television growing up. And we watched this show when it would come on, and it always had Howard Cosell and Jim McKay. And it was ABC's Wide World of Sports. And you were introduced to sports all over the world and unusual sports. I remember one time seeing a cricket match, and I still don't understand cricket. To me, you're just trying to hit a little peg. And they bat, and it's like you're running back and forth with your bat. So I don't get cricket. But you were made aware of sports all over the world. And, of course, who better to broadcast than Jim McKay and Howard Cosell, that wonderful broadcast of Wide World of Sports. Span the globe was one of their favorite sayings. And they brought into our home sports of every imaginable variety. Yet regardless of the sport, whether it was baseball or football or basketball, track and field, golf or tennis, figure skating, hockey, horse racing, who can forget that phraseology as it was doing its opening credits and opening run of its broadcast? It always had the phrase, the thrill of victory. And what was the latter? The agony of defeat. This poor guy, he's getting ready to get hurt. His face is getting ready to hit the ice. But if you remember, if you saw that show and you watched it, it was always on the opening credits. You always saw the 1984 Miracle on Ice, where the United States hockey team beat the Russians for the gold medal, and what a great thrill of victory that was. But you also saw a little bit later in the broadcast, not in the 84, but just a few years later, we had Jimmy Valvano and the North Carolina State basketball team win the national championship in basketball. And they had the camera on Jimmy Valvano. And he's running around, doesn't know, there's nobody to hug. Everybody's hugging somebody. And he's running around the court trying to find somebody to hug. And but then the agony of defeat. The poor individual, the skier, he was a ski jumper had an accident there right at the ski jump. This is not him. This is not the one. They've actually taken that picture down off the internet. It's black and white. It's still there. But the colored image is not on the internet anymore. I guess it was just too painful of a reminder. But that was always that phrase there at the end of the opening credits. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. In sports, there's always going to be winners and losers. I know in today's sporting world, with kids coming up, you're not a loser. You've lost. You know, if you didn't win any games all season, you lost. Sorry. But no, we're going to give them a trophy. You know, we're going to give them a ribbon. We're going to give them a medal and congratulate them, you know, trying to boost their self-esteem. Well, sometimes we have to realize that we didn't win. Sometimes we need that little spark to say, I got to do better. I got to go on and do more. I got to practice harder. So there's always going to be winners and losers in sports. There are going to be those who seize victory and those who taste defeat. Well, the Apostle John in chapter 5, as he opens this chapter, he is determined to help the followers of Christ that they would taste that thrill of victory and avoid the agony of defeat. Just as a great athlete needs strength and a great athlete needs speed and stamina, as a great athlete needs skill, but he also needs training, John knew great Christians needed a new birth. They needed the love of God. They needed obedience to God. And they needed faith. John is committed to sharing this biblical principle with his early church believers as faith is the victory. Notice again in verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Our faith must be placed in the right person, Jesus Christ. Ira Sankey the music leader for D.L. Moody, put the words to this song. It's called Faith is the Victory. Beautiful song. It goes like this: Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and valleys, and against the foe and vales below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. The last verse says, to him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts will love aflame. We'll vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Of course, the chorus is, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the key. Faith is what John is going to move from. He has been talking about love, and now he's moving to faith. Faith is the key to how you overcome this world. God wants us to experience this victory that overcomes the world. And in our text, John lays down this fourfold strategy that will enable us to put that chalk mark on the winning side of our journey of faith. At the very onset of this study, I want to ask that you consider carefully your own personal spiritual journey. Don't think about your husband's or your wife's. Don't think about your children's. Don't think about your grandchildren's. Grandchildren. Don't think about your neighbor or your co-worker. Think about your personal spiritual walk with God as we move forward. Is your life a constant struggle against the powers of darkness? Is it a constant struggle with constant defeats? Or is it a victorious war waged in the power of our risen Lord? That's what we're going to look on these four strategies. So the first tonight is in verse 1. Again, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. The first is experience victory by believing in Jesus. You want to overcome the world, the carnality of this world, and the ruler of this world? You want to overcome that? Experience victory in believing in Jesus Christ. Three times John will speak of believing or faith here in verse 1, verse 4, and verse 5. Though the theme of love is continued on into the first few verses of chapter 5, and it occurs five more times in the first three verses of chapter 5, the emphasis is changing. He is going to shift gears and go to believe by faith. The focus of our faith in verse 1 is twofold. The first is to know who to believe. Do you know who to believe? The word believe means to trust, to rely on. Jesus is the one that we must believe in if we want to overcome this world. He is the man from Nazareth, but he's also the God-man from heaven. He is the miracle worker, but he's also the creator. He is the great teacher, but he is also the living word. If we believe in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ, then we are obeying and abiding by the principles in verse 1. We are not to have God and Jesus and Peter. We're not to have Jesus and John. We're not to have Jesus and Paul. It's just Jesus. The sole object of our belief, the sole object of our faith is Jesus. Not adding anything to it. Jesus did it all on the cross. I love the word that is in Greek that it talks about on the cross when Jesus died and he said, "It is finished." What he is saying is one word. And he is saying this one word and it's tetelestai. And he's saying it's paid completely in full with nothing left to be done. You and I cannot do anything to add to our salvation. He's already done it all. It's complete, paid in full. But not only are we to know who to believe, we also need to know what to believe. Jesus is the one in whom we are to believe in, to place our faith in. But he is also something else about Jesus that we should know about him that will increase our faith is to know that he is the Word of life. Chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 John talks about that. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he is our advocate. He is our atonement. He is our mercy seat. Chapter 4 talks about how he has come in the flesh, robed in flesh, been tabernacled with us. Chapter 4, verse 10, he is our propitiation. He paid for our sin. The sins that we committed today, he paid for them. The sins we're going to commit tomorrow, he paid for them. The sins we committed 20 years ago, 50 years ago, he paid for them. The people that lived in the past, the people that live in the future, he has paid for all sin. Chapter 4, verse 14, knowing what to believe, he is God's Son. He is the Creator. Chapter 4, verse 14, again, knowing what to believe about Jesus, he is the Redeemer. He's the Savior of the world. He is the one who was promised in Genesis 3:15 to come and to crush the head of the serpent. Praise the Lord. Belief in Jesus involves our whole body, mind, soul, spirit. It's not merely head knowledge. For 18 years, I had the head knowledge. I grew up in a good home. I grew up in a morally right home. They taught us right and wrong. We knew right from wrong. We went to church Easter and Christmas, and it wasn't a godly Bible preaching church, but I did know the Ten Commandments by heart. I did know the apostles by name. I did know the Apostles' Creed. I did know the Nicene Creed. I knew the Lord's Prayer. I had all this Bible knowledge. I knew all the books of the Bible in order. I had all this head knowledge. I believe Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that He is God and He was God. I believed in a heaven. I believed in a hell. But it was all up here. I had never heard that Jesus died for my sins. I heard that He died for the world. For God so loved the world. I'd heard that. But I never heard it zeroed in to me personally. So salvation, belief in Christ is not mere head knowledge. It's trusting all that you are to all that He is. Victory can be ours because we have believed in the only one who can provide that victory. We can't provide our own victory. And how do we obtain this victory over the world? How can we be overcomers? Faith. Faith. We had an unspoken prayer request answered. Hadn't told a soul this. And we've been praying and really not praying too hard about it. We just knew it was in God's hands. Lord, it's all yours. We're trusting you. We knew there was physically no way that we could answer this prayer request. So we just sort of laid it on the altar for God and said, it's yours. However you want to answer it or not answer it, it's in your hands. Monday afternoon, I found out He answered it. And not only answered it, He answered it above. It's like the person that told me that answer, and I asked a simple question about it, and she said, let me show you what God did. And it was truly that. God did it. Praise the Lord. I give Him all the credit. Nothing I have done. Faith comes through trusting Christ. And that gives us the victory. Gives us the victory, our faith in Christ. Notice verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. It starts right sort of in the middle of a thought here. So you go back to verse 1 and you realize if you believed in Jesus, if you've placed your faith in Jesus and you trusting in Him for the victory, then by this we will know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. So the second fold way that we can obtain this victory is experience victory by loving others. By loving others. We've talked about this in chapter 3. We've talked about this in chapter 4. But in these first few verses of chapter 5, He's still lingering on this thought of love. In the Bible, and especially in 1 John, faith and love are inseparable. How do we have faith in Christ? When someone explained to me the gospel that Jesus died for my sins and I needed a personal Savior, when someone explained that to me and showed me from the Word of God, I placed my faith in Christ by acknowledging His love for me. And now, I love Him. Both faith and love are vitally connected. They're connected to our spiritual birth. They're connected to that being born again. John teaches us that the one who places their faith in Jesus is born of God. So what does spiritual birth from believing in Jesus result in? Well, it results in lots of things. Eternal home in heaven, peace within our souls and our spirit, freedom from the shackles of sin. No longer do we have to worry about going to hell. But we also get love. We also get obedience. We also get rest. We get victory. Not surprisingly, John starts with love in verse 2. Who are we to express our love to so that we can experience this victory? Well, firstly, in verse 1, we're to show our love to the Father. We love the one who begot us. I know people will go over these, reading their scriptures and going into the genealogies, and he begot him, and he begot him, and he. And people are like, oh, just their eyes go hazed over, and they just skip the chapter. I'm one of those weirdos that love them, because I can find some great truths with the Holy Spirit's help, showing me things that are helping me to be a better Christian in those begats. But we were begot when we were born of God. Not physically, but spiritually. When we were born of God, we were begotten. We're one of those in the long lines of the begottens. It's natural to love our parents. They're the ones that brought us into the world. They're the ones that cared for us and provided for us. They're the ones that raised us up. It's natural to love our earthly parents. Well, how much more natural is it to love our heavenly Father who begot us? So first, we're to love our Father. Second, we're to love our Savior. Again in verse 1, if you love the parent, you're going to also love the children of that parent. I have two sisters, one older, one younger. Sometimes I loved them. Sometimes I didn't growing up. We had some good fights. But you know, I can remember instances where my older sister, she's 4 years older than me, I can remember instances where people were picking on me and she was right there. She was sort of tall. And she took up for me. I can remember doing the same for my little sister. Heaven helped somebody come between us. But when we were just the three of us, I can remember the car drives. Remember the car drives and mom and dad's hand don't reach the back seat in those old cars? And the big Buicks where the back seat was way back there and those hands wouldn't reach. You didn't dare look at the rearview mirror because you knew you'd get the evil eye. But we were back there. You're breathing my air. She's sitting on my side. Where's three of us? Where are you going to go? She's taking my light. You know how we were. Oh, y'all didn't do that. If we love the parent, then we should also love the children of the parent. If you love the father, then you should love his son. Then also, we are to love the brethren. John's statement and word here is surprising when he says, we love God, we love the children of God, then we will love and keep his commandments. Love for others is rooted and grounded in the love we have for God. You having trouble loving others? Well, maybe we need to look at our love for God and our love for the Savior. Has it diminished? When we love God, we will desire to love others. We will keep His commandments, which also involves loving others. Before you can love your brother or your sister here on earth, you must first love your Father in heaven. To love me is to love my children. Many of you have met at least our daughter. Our son's been here a few times. He lives out west. But if you say you love me, but you do not love my son and my daughter, then you really are saying, well, I really don't love you. To love God is to love His children. If you say you love God but hate His children, then you really don't love God. What it's saying here in verses 1 and 2. So how else can we experience victory of overcoming the world? Verses 2 and 3 talk about experience victory by obeying God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You know the song, Trust and Obey? Well, it also could say love and obey. For John, these partners are never to be separated. Love and obey. Believing God, I obey God. Do I ever understand everything in this book? No. And I've been studying it now for 30-some years, and I still do not understand many things in this great book. But I know someone who does know it. So each morning, just this morning, I usually read two chapters in, I'm in Jeremiah right now. I read two chapters in Jeremiah. I read two chapters in Job. I read a psalm. And then, unless it's a short one, then I read several psalms. And then I read, I'm in Romans right now in the New Testament. That's my morning reading schedule right now. So I'm usually reading 6, 7, 8 chapters every morning. This morning, and I teach this, I preach this, if you come to something and the Holy Spirit stops you, stop. Don't keep reading, stop. And find out what He's trying to show you. So this morning I was in Jeremiah 35, I believe it was, and the Lord showed me something that I hadn't seen quite in that light. And I stopped. I was like, Lord, I'm only into my first chapter. Stop. And I spent the next 45 minutes tracing down and studying that thought. That's Bible study. Not checking off, I read my chapters for the day. And when God stops you, stop. He has something for you. And what He gave me helped me. I'll preach it one day. I'm still working on it, but my goodness. Believing God, I obey God. Loving God, I obey God. Loving God, I obey God. You know, God's blessing says His commandments are not grievous. God's commandments are a blessing. They're not a burden. Obeying God tells Him, I love you. Obeying God continually tells Him, I really love you. Obeying God's commandments sets us free. It doesn't enslave us. You know, people see Christianity as, oh, that's the religion of do-nots. No, I see it as a religion of getting able to. His commandments are a blessing because they set me free to live not as I want, but as I should. If I lived how I wanted, I'd eat all the junk food. I'd eat the stuff that's horrible for me. I wouldn't exercise. I would stay up late. I'd get up late. Wait a minute, maybe that's what I do right now. No, God's commandments are a blessing, and those blessings allow me to live not as I want to live, but as I should live, how He wants me to live. God's commandments are a blessing, but they're also not a burden. John basically affirms that he said at the end of verse 2 and verse 3 when he says, but he adds to it, love for God is only real when we keep His commandments. That word keep in verse 3. Keep His commandments. That word keep means to observe, to attend to carefully. In the military, they teach you your gig line. Did they have that in the Air Force, brother? Yeah, they had the gig line, and they check your gig line. That's where your shirt button, your seams in your shirt are to be matched up with your belt buckle, and your belt buckle to be matched up with your zipper, and your shoes shine the right way, and your laces tied the right way. They're teaching you to follow things carefully that they have taught you. Well, God wants us to keep, to observe, to attend to carefully His commandments. Love is not so much emotional. We talk about emotional love today. Love is really not an emotional thing as it is a moral thing. Not what you feel, but what you do. Love is an action word. It is one of those things that you show your love by doing something about it. They're not grievous. That word grievous means they're not heavy, they're not crushing, they're not oppressive. They're a blessing, not a burden. So you want to experience victory over this world and things that are drawing you down and pulling you down, then obey God. You know better than I do. You know better than your spouse does and your children where you're failing God. Obeying. Obeying. And the last of these victories and how to experience victory is by really our goal, by overcoming the world. Notice verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Oh, we could stop right there and just do shouting. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I can tell this to this crowd because they'll understand it. When I used to teach the teenagers, it went right over their head. They didn't understand. But you remember the commercials, E.F. Hutton? When E.F. Hutton speaks, and then everybody turned their ear to listen. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody stops and listens. Think they're going to get some great financial advice. We read this, "This is the victory that overcometh the world." And that should be like E.F. Hutton. What's the victory? How do we overcome this world? Even our faith. Not your mom and dad's faith. Not your grandparents' faith, not your spouse's faith, not your preacher's faith or your teacher's faith. No, your faith. God wants us to be overcomers and to have victory in our Christian life. The book of Joshua, maybe one day the Lord will allow us to teach it here in this class. The book of Joshua is about how to live a victorious Christian life. That's what the whole book is about. How to live a victorious Christian life. Something we should all want to know, right? Well, John's giving us a little snippet here. You want to be an overcomer? You want to have victory in your Christian life? You want to live a victorious Christian life? Faith in God. Just like that unspoken prayer request we had. Just place it out there, God. Here it is. It's yours. However you want to do and whatever you want to do, it's yours. Three times he speaks of being an overcomer in these two verses. The word means to conquer, to gain victory, to prevail, to overcome. Do you have anything in your life that you need to gain victory over? Do you have anything in your life that you need to prevail over, to conquer, to overcome? In Revelation, the first couple chapters of the book of Revelation, we have seven churches mentioned. John, by the Holy Spirit, penned that book as well, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And John ends each challenge to each church that's listed there of the seven churches, and he tells them, this is how you become an overcomer, this is how you become a conqueror, this is how you become a victor. These are all the things you need to work on, and this is how you overcome it. How do we overcome? Verse 5.
Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Someone who does not believe that Jesus is Son of God cannot have victory over this world, cannot have victory over the cares of this world. You must be born of God. And how do we do this? Faith. Faith is the key to victory. I have a statement that the Lord showed me in something I was reading. I don't even remember where I read it now. But it was so profound. It's like most of my notes are size 14 font so I can read them with my glasses on and see them. But this is like 24 font on my page, bold. I didn't want to skip it. I even put it on a slide. Obedience is not the entrance fee we pay to get in the family of God. Obedience isn't the key. We can obey God all we want. If we don't have God, that doesn't pay the fee. What pays the fee? Jesus has already paid it. So what do? We place our faith in the one who's paid it. Faith is the key. You want to overcome what's battling you and bothering you and struggling with? Faith is the key to that victory. And the faith must be placed in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. That lawnmower that's giving you a fit, Miss Jean? You want victory over it? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Faith in the Lord. Now, is that all that's going to fix it? Well, it could be a lay of hands. But we also have some very talented people in this church. And just by bringing it out in the open, Miss Jean has a lawnmower, it's not running. We need to lay hands on it. We need to pray over it. We need to go see what's wrong with it. Faith is the key to the victory. I still struggle with this. But I'm trying. But when a problem comes, especially if it's a financial problem, if a financial problem comes, I am strategizing, I am creating budgets, I am using a calculator who is smoking, trying to figure a way I can fix this financial problem. A physical problem comes, what can I do? What can I eat better? Can I exercise more? Can I get more rest? Me, my strength, my wisdom, my ability. Is that what 1 John chapter 5 just taught us? It's not faith in me. It's not faith in my strength. It's not faith in my wisdom. It's not faith in my ability to get out of a situation. The faith is to be placed in Jesus Christ and let Him give you the strength and the wisdom and the power and the might that you need. So I have one weekly challenge. Y'all like these weekly challenges? One challenge for you this week. Identify something small or great in your life right now that you're trying to meet, you're trying to fix, you're trying to overcome or defeat in your own strength and wisdom. Identify one small or great thing that you're trying to defeat, trying to conquer, trying to prevail over. Whatever that is, then realize through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He can and desires to give you the victory. How do we get that victory? Trust Him. Turn it over to Him. And don't be like me and try to take it back. Well, I gave it to you, God, but I think I've got the answer now. No, let Him do it. You'll rejoice. and rejoice and rejoice knowing that God has made Himself so real to you. In Jesus, faith is the victory. Yes, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If you have faith in Christ for salvation, you have a new father. You have a new family. And you have a new focus. With these, we are able to overcome the world and live a victorious Christian life only if we turn it over in faith to the one who can give us the victory. May God help us to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson that we all need to apply to our hearts and lives, to know that we have things. I have things I was working on this morning trying to fix, trying to figure out, trying to come up with a solution. When you stopped me and taught me again on Monday afternoon what you showed me, look what God did. God is able if we'll just stop trying to do things in our own strength, in our own minds, in our own wisdom. Oh, what a powerful resource we have of the indwelling Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't mean we are to just lay aside and be a couch potato and not do anything, no. But it also means to look where we're putting our faith in. Is it in ourselves or is it in Christ? Bless your people, Lord. We have a great work we want to do for you here. Raise up bodies of believers that love you and trust you. And thank you for these body of believers that are here. And Lord, help us to do this great work that you've called us to do through your strength, through your wisdom, through your might. Help us to trust and have faith in you. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.